Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Movement Watches. Go to mvmt.com/filthycasuals to get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns.
And don't forget, we have our live Filthy Casual show happening in Sydney, December the 16th. It's us doing a live recording of an episode, plus hosting a Mario Kart tournament. We can't wait to see all of you Sydney-siders coming out in full force. So get on to filthycasuals.com.au for a ticket to that. You can also find there a link to our Patreon. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so and get heaps of bonus content and inspire us to get off our little fannies and make some video content for you. And finally, in speaking of bonus content, we have released we will be releasing a new premium episode on our Bandcamp this Sunday. You'll be able to get the history of the Mario games from 1996 onwards.
Yes.
Yeah, so if you're looking to fire yourself up before the release of Mario Odyssey this week, what better way to do that than listening to two men who love all the games they're talking about, and one man who hasn't played most of them, and the ones that he has played, he doesn't like that much.
Oh, it's a great time. a perfect way to motivate yourself for Mario Odyssey.
So that's at our Bandcamp. It's pay what you feel. I think it's a minimum of $1. So mm-hmm. if you can't afford to support the Patreon every month, but you'd like to kick in a little something, that is a good way that you can do that. All of the links to this stuff can be found at filthycasuals.com.au. Enjoy the episode. Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three extremely kind and knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us once again. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and as always, I'm joined by
Ben Vanel. Good morning, video games, to you, Tommy. And we also have
Adam Knox. Good morning, video games, everybody. Or I suppose by now it's probably good afternoon, video games.
Or even good evening.
Good evening.
You're picking up what I'm putting down.
It's weird how in the middle of the night, if you greet someone, which I guess doesn't happen that often, but if it's like,
hello, rubber.
if it's really late, you never say good night. It's only ever morning, afternoon, evening, and night means farewell.
Yes. I feel like the word hello does a very serviceable job in a situation like that.
Yes. Not if you're like, if the only time I can think of it coming up is if you're like a receptionist at a hotel.
Yes.
Or an airport, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, good it's night, 2 a.m. You can't go, hello.
Yes.
Because you just sound dumb if you say hello in a role where you're meant to be helping.
Yeah, I guess. And I mean, I guess the brothel or the sex worker industry, they'd be one that would be having to use a greeting it long into the dead of night.
Yeah.
And having never, you know, partaken in any of those services, I can't speak to, what are they doing?
I'm trying to think of like a 7-Eleven.
What the? Anytime.
I got to go to a brothel if that's how they're doing it.
You're
sounds
there to
cool.
have fun. So it's lighthearted from when you walk in.
So that's the only reason you're going in and paying for sex, just because you still think that's cool. You still think what's up is awesome.
Just
none of your friends are into it. Your family, you're an outcast. You're like, this is the only place that really gets me.
They constantly play Scary Movie on all the TVs in there. Yeah.
It's only people who like outdated advertising slogans whoever go.
So and, the shitty,
and the shitty Wayans brothers.
Yeah. Can you point me towards the beef? Where's the beef? And if you don't have a good time, not happy, Jan.
Oh, that's a good one.
We could do these all night.
I'm out.
I was trying to get the Go-Go Mobile in there.
Oh yeah.
And
30, 32.
Yep. And the Mr. Hutz. That kind of works because he was the guy in the carpet ads, and he's like spilt all this shit all over the carpet to sort of show what a good job this carpet cleaner does.
Yeah. Okay.
And so that could be like you want to recreate that ad, so you just like you're in the room with the person. and you just like, you know, you just jack it onto the carpet and you're like, say the line, you know, call me Mr. Hutz or whatever his name was.
My parents stopped buying Sultana brand because of the ad, the we made it from the grapevine.
Oh, ooh, yeah.
Yeah. They hated that ad enough.
They stopped but like because they hated it.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they found it offensive in some way because it was like parodying.
It's desecrating like, Marvin Gaye's memory.
Yeah, like this is where we find out that you're somehow related to Marvin Gaye.
Rumors are not a joke. Yeah, no, it was just an annoying enough ad that they changed their breakfast habits.
Oh, that's fascinating. And wow. The best part is if the advertising agency that commissioned that had found that fact out, they'd be ropeable.
Yeah.
Like they would have been, even just losing one customer off the back of it, Sultana brand would have gone fucking mental at them.
Oh, I would hate to see an angry Sultana brand worker because they're eating Sultana brand every day. And as the worst cereal, you'd be in a bad mood every day if you ate Sultana brand every morning.
Oh, but you'd be pretty regular at least.
Yeah.
Oh,
they'd say, I'm furious with you and I'm going to tell you after I take my ninth shit for today.
I'm gonna disagree. I reckon all brand the worst cereal.
Oh, yeah, because you don't even have the...
You don't even have the Sultana. Like, imagine a world where you're, like, wishing for a Sultana.
No, but you know what? Like, if you're in a prison cell and it's for the rest of your life, you're in a dungeon.
And I really hope that one day you are.
And it's, like, underground and it sucks and there's cockroaches. You're like, well, guess my life sucks forever now. But if you're in a prison cell and one day a year somebody walks in and gives you, like, a back rub...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that would be worse.
Honestly, that's my idea of a perfect life.
That little bit of hope, is enough to drive you insane.
Yeah.
So the Sultanas and that are the back rub. You know what I mean?
Imagine if you got one back rub a year and then one year the back rub person didn't come. That's when you go insane.
Yeah.
That's what you need. I actually hate back rubs.
It's a short story that I wrote in university.
My dad used to eat all bran when I was growing up, and it always confused me so much because I just couldn't wrap my head around. It's like, this is the guy in charge, okay? I know this. This guy makes all the choices around here. He can do what he wants, and he's still choosing to eat this dog shit cereal. I get no control over what I'm eating because I'm 8.
Yeah.
But this guy, who's telling him to eat this? I don't get it.
Yeah.
It used to drive me insane.
And now you understand it was personal responsibility, and I never learned that lesson, and that's why I've turned out how I have.
You're right. That would be worse if he's in front of me eating ice cream for breakfast and going, you little fucking idiot, you can't do this yet. But one day, just so you know, once you hit 18, and then I'm looking up to him going, fuck, I can't wait to eat ice cream for breakfast every day.
Oh, I don't think you get to be a father if you do that.
No. Is that the rule? Is that official?
Yeah.
Cool. So what have we got? What have we got for the good little boys and girls this week?
A whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Knox, you're leader of the news.
Well, I have my phone open currently to look at. Well,
I have my phone on my lap, but it's not open. So
there's been lots of stuff coming out, but a lot of it we haven't gotten around to just yet. The thing that I think Ben and the only thing I've really played this last week has been Middle Earth: Shadow of War.
Yes,
isn't it the other way around?
No.
It's played me? What do you mean?
I thought that title was the other way around.
No.
It should be. It's like how Total War, you know the Total War games?
Mm-hmm.
They changed that around at some point.
Oh, really?
It used to be Rome, Total War.
Did they change that around?
And now it's Total War, Warhammer is the most
recent
one.
Yeah, right, okay.
Which, it made more sense when... I like the subtitle to be the overarching name.
Oh, you do?
This should be called Episode 104, Filthy Casuals. Do you know what
So we log into our RSS feed and we're changing the title of the podcast every single week.
It's like one of those real magic shops that disappears after you've bought something.
Oh, yeah.
We're like that where the name changes every
week. We're
an
urban legend.
Oh, you can't wait to get some sweet press on Snopes.com for this podcast.
It's Middle Earth: Shadow of War,
which is a weird name change as well because Shadow of Mordor, Mordor was the strongest word in that name.
Yes,
Middle Earth, Shadow. Not that I hate the concept of Middle Earth, but it's a pretty generic sounding title thing.
You know, yeah, Middle Earth is getting smaller and smaller in these economic conditions. Soon there won't be a Middle Earth. It'll just be a Lower Earth and an Upper Earth.
That joke is in some intersection of either conspiracy theories and the Lord of the Rings.
Yep.
I do not have enough dark
reeks,
web experience.
That was an economy joke.
Reeks to me of Ben's been considering a return to stand-up and he's just kind of jotted that down in his spare time as part of this grand return. You know, he's seeing filthy listeners turn up to the gigs that you and I do, Adam, and he's thinking, I want a piece of that.
I want to bomb in front of people who've heard of me.
Those two titles sound the same. Yeah, I, as someone who's not played either of them, I find them very confusing to hear about. They're too similarly named.
Yeah.
You know what this franchise needs? A little ad company that used to work for Sultana Brand. Get these guys in there. Give the games some kind of like Marvin Gaye based parody title.
Oh yeah,
and then the people will come. A peninsula based family will be outraged.
Yeah.
But
Gollum has a one ring. I can't. I've been struggling to think of any words from The Lord of the Rings that rhyme with grapevine.
Oh.
It seems to me like the problem here is you're just not familiar enough with the discography of Marvin Gaye.
Or the discography of Tolkien as well.
Yeah, great gems.
I've read the first book about some varying percentage of it, about 9 times.
Right.
Trying to get through it. I usually get to Bombadil and go, oh, fuck off.
Well, that's real early.
Yeah.
Honestly, you should skip that part.
It's really bad, that bit. I just don't, yeah.
I love it and yeah, it is bad. bit is very bad.
So the movies are great.
Yeah.
That's what I'm coming to Middle Earth with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The movies are great.
Never seen them. Never read them.
Right.
And I'll remain that way till the day I die.
That's fair.
I'm comfortable saying that as a 31-year-old. There's no point for me to all of a sudden now just watch the Lord of the Rings movies 10 years after they
I think
they
you're
came
right.
Out.
I think because I read them. My dad gave me the trilogy when I was like very young, like 10 or something. And I read them. And I read The Hobbit as well.
Yeah. Have you read Silmarillion?
I have. I read The Silmarillion. I read like some of the unfinished tales.
Right.
I read a whole bunch, like everything that was there. And then, yeah, I saw the movies. Like I've probably seen each of them about 10 times.
Right.
Like not for a while, but there was a period where I just watched them over and over.
Mm.
I really like The Lord of the Rings in this world. And
it'd
really
be
like,
weird if you didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen them 10 times. But
if anything, I'm just kind of medium on them.
It was I always, you know, when a new one came out on DVD, it was such an event where it's like chocked with 376 hours of bonus content. Like they were the DVDs.
Yeah.
And I was always very jealous because I was like, I wish something that I liked could come out with this much extra shit that I'm never going to get around to watching.
90 yeah. extra hours of porno.
Yeah. did you get all that stuff? How much of that extra because there'd be 3 hours in the cinemas and then the other wacko jacko would get in there
yeah.
and he'd just get an itchy trigger finger in the old edit suite and go, yeah. imagine this, but with just 45 minutes extra.
Yeah.
The extra bits, though, I really like the movies and the extra bits did improve the movies.
Totally. It's weird that it does, but you kind of just watch them as a TV series
totally.
Almost.
Right.
Just watch them in hour blocks and, yeah, like the extra stuff was good because he was drawing on a well-written trilogy that,
yeah.
you know, was
there's
like
so much stuff
a 1,000 pages each or something. Yeah.
They're due for a cinema re-release, aren't they? I reckon he's busting. I reckon he's busting to go back in, George Lucas style, and add some new shit in.
I reckon
get him back into the multiplex.
After The Hobbit, there's no chance of that for another 10 plus years.
The Hobbit kind of was his chance of going back and adding it because he used the HDR for 48 frames a second or something. And 3D and all that shit, and it was just bad.
Yeah,
like he just fucked it.
I did love that where it was like, you know, he does these like how many books is Lord of the Rings is 3 books,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Three big
so it's
books.
Like, yeah, here's a movie per book.
Yeah.
And then it's like The Hobbit, here's one book. No, they just all have to be 3 movies now.
Yeah, that
I'm
was...
sorry, I've forgotten how to make one movie that yeah. stands alone by itself.
Yeah.
I was blind the whole time I made Tintin. I can't remember how I did it. It's back to the old 3 film formula, baby.
The production of those movies was a mess, though. It's like he wasn't meant to direct them.
Yeah.
Someone else was. It was meant to be
Guillermo del Toro originally.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it was someone else.
And it was one movie originally as well.
Right.
And then I think, yeah, they all pulled out for various reasons and he was like, I guess I'm the guy to do it and I'm going to fuck it up.
Yeah. Wait until the Silmarillion gets made into movies.
Oh, Lord.
And it's just like Louis Theroux going through and we're talking to people in Middle Earth doing a documentary about
when I went on a road trip across the United States of America, and it was when the first Hobbit was out in cinemas.
Oh, yeah.
And we got obsessed with stopping.
Those heady days.
We got obsessed with stopping in at Denny's on our trip.
Oh, yes.
The chain in the States. And they were doing a Hobbit tie-in. Ooh. And it was just the most like... Literally just the menu had a couple of pictures of a fucking hobbit on it, and it was like goblin waffles or whatever, but nothing different about them. Like just they'd gone through the menu and chucked some mythical creature at the start of all this stuff. It was just the most – it seemed like neither party really wanted anything to do with it. Like it was just like a mistake.
I think you've picked – I think the goblin is like the one fantasy thing that doesn't show up in the Lord of the Rings.
No. Goblins are in The Hobbit.
Are they?
Yeah. He accidentally got it right.
Because I've read The Hobbit years and
they
years
go
ago.
under the mountain. It's the Goblin King and stuff.
Maybe.
Okay, I'll change it.
You're right.
Robot toast.
No, there is a robot.
Just a huge jock that it just has no concept of anything. Laser fucking fries.
Yeah, fucking R2-D2 beer. So you're a big Lord of the Rings fan.
Yeah, I'm huge.
Not if prodded, you wouldn't walk up to people and go, "Hello, it's me, big Lord of the Rings fan."
Not anymore. Yeah. Not anymore. I've learned my lesson.
You get a little. You get your Lord of the Rings DVD, and you consider it to be your precious. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
So, what are you? How far? So, now let's go back. With a perfect segue into talking
about. Let's make all the listeners freak out and think their phones are glitching right now.
So, Middle Earth, Shadow of War, again, bland name, but what are you reckoning of the game?
It's really good. The worst aspects of it are like, well, not. This is probably not entirely fair. I was going to say the worst aspects of it are the elements that are Lord of the Rings based.
I would agree with that statement.
But in more
now, this is a bombshell as to self-confessed Trekkies or whatever you call yourselves from 3 minutes ago to be saying this. I mean, I'm bamboozled.
It's like the story and the characters are absolutely horrible in the way that they're the blandest in the history of any art form. Like
the characters especially just are these blank slate.
Yeah.
Just like...
The main character looks like it's kind of like you're in a character creation mode that just really hasn't started doing anything with the with the sliders yet. It's just like, okay, so that's like boring guy. Now let's make a character.
Yeah.
They haven't made a character yet.
Which, as happened at our live Mario Kart tournament in Melbourne, is what your amiibo looks like.
Yeah. But I have some character. At least I have flaws.
And like, Ben's eyes have some animation to them.
Yes.
But this guy's... Because Celebrimbor, I don't mind.
Yeah.
The ghost elf who's
the,
like...
The wraith, yeah.
Half of you...
Talion.
Talion, yeah.
Yeah, Talion.
Very boring. But like, every supporting character... is very dull as well, apart from all of the randomly generated orcs.
Yeah.
Who I love every single one of them I come across.
Totally. There's a cutscene that I just was, got past.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I've been whipping out my phone every time.
But
were you saying you, in the first one, you went back and replayed it and you skipped all of the cutscenes and you found it a much more enjoyable experience?
I realized I actually liked the game.
Right.
When I played it in 2014, I thought the game sucked.
Right.
And then it was because I was... putting myself through this extra time of this bullshit sucky story, and now playing through this one, I'm ignoring them but kind of watching them for the purposes of knowing I have to talk about them.
Yeah.
But holy boy, the main story stuff is bad.
It's awful. And like, I think we mentioned maybe last week the Shelob stuff.
Mm.
How it's like a sexy woman.
Oh, yeah, this horny spider or whatever.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Like, awful.
And then later on, there's a pouty tree.
Yes.
As well, which, like,
this sounds like a Kirby game.
This character is like, you're getting introduced to it as like, this character is nature.
Yeah.
It represents the wilderness,
the spirit of the forest.
Yeah. And then you're like, okay, oh, and it looks like it's going to be a wolf thing at first. Yes. And you're like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
This is cool.
Yeah.
And then you eventually meet the real character, and it's this tree walking towards you. You're like, cool, an ant thing.
Yeah.
I like where this is going.
Yeah.
Then it comes out, it's got fucking Angelina Jolie's face.
Yeah, it's like Poison Ivy.
No, I have to say, I haven't seen any trailers or still. I haven't seen a single frame of what this game looks like. So All I have to go on is what you guys are saying. It sounds awful. Everything about it sounds truly atrocious.
You say it's like, it sounds like a Kirby game. It's like it is without any of the fun or character.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only related to the story sections.
Right.
And really, that is a minuscule part of the game because the game is massive. Mm-hmm. And so I was going to say before, like I got to a cutscene where you kind of take over a fortress and a character from the previous game comes back and he's quite funny and he's got this like big dumb mate and you've got like your own little bodyguard at this point and they start to have a bit of a fight and they're kind of like squabbling and they're very funny. Like it's kind of a well-written scene of them taking pot shots at each other. Mm-hmm. And then you're kind of like ghost guy who gives you all your powers, kind of like takes you aside and is like, ignore these squabbling fools. Let's talk about something more boring. Like it literally happens. It's all like, you don't get what's interesting about this game.
Every human character and the Witch King and Sauron and all of them.
Yeah.
Just especially the Gondor characters though.
Yes.
Are just the flattest, most dull like actors in a porno before they start having sex. Worse than that, because it's not even funny. It's just like, it's not so bad. It's just bland. It's just kind of vanilla.
It's kind of old fashioned, it feels like, in terms of games. Like, I guess you could get away with this 10 or 15 years ago where it's like, hello, I'm a prince and I'm going to fight alongside you and lead you to the next point of the quest.
But maybe then it would have gone for 6 seconds, whereas these go for quite a long time.
And so you both say you like this game.
I know.
This is the most bizarre review.
This is just to get it out of the way.
Is this what it's like when I go on about Nintendo? Because this makes no sense.
There's a main story and there's quests and there's all of that and there's cutscenes there. You can quite safely ignore them because every part of the game that isn't that, real fun.
It's okay, really, and what are you doing in this game?
So it's...
If you've not played the first one, I guess we have to explain. Because if you have played the first one, Shadow of Mordor, it's more of that.
It's more of that, and the extra stuff in terms of gameplay is really fun and adds a lot of interesting elements to it and a lot more time. The new stuff is kind of time consuming but fun.
And they've tightened up everything from the first one, I feel like, too.
Yes, agreed. But
if you've no experience with these games, what you're doing basically is being a commander of an army at some point. Like, it's Batman combat from the Arkham games.
Okay.
You're going around fighting a bunch of orcs in Middle Earth.
It's kind of like an open world with kind of regenerating enemies, kind of like an Assassin's Creed game where it's like there's a region and there's heaps of enemies in there and you'll fight the enemies and do quests and kind of at a certain point you kind of start to cleanse the area a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of looking towards doing that. But mostly it's kind of a persistent, shitty world that you are constantly running around and having fights in.
And so what you're doing when you get past the sort of opening parts of the game is going through and possessing these orcs. Sorry, capturing these. you dominate these orcs and they become part of your army.
Yeah.
And then you're building up these armies and taking over these fortresses in the regions of Mordor and essentially trying to become the ruler of this world by building up this army that will fight for you.
Yeah.
And that whole part of it is super interesting.
Yeah.
Feels great to play.
Yep.
Is huge and really fun. And it's an expansion of the stuff that was good about the first game in a really in a way that makes a lot of sense and is just fun.
It's not like grindy or time wasting or anything. It's all because the combat and the movement is so fluid and fun. It's just it's what I liked about the old good Assassin's Creed games.
Right.
It's like you get dropped in a really cool, interesting, visually, interesting world. You're really powerful and you can kind of run and jump around the entire thing.
And there are so many upgrades you can make to your powers and to your equipment and all of that that the combat never really gets repetitive because there's heaps of different stuff you can try out and it's fun and feels good to try out.
Yeah.
And then all of the orcs... So you're fighting orcs and uruks, which I don't really know the difference between...
Yeah.
I can't tell which... Because some of them, they go, that's an Uruk and that's an Orc next to
him. Well, because Saruman made the Uruks and they're just kind of like more powerful Orcs, but they all do look the same in this.
They're just buff Orcs.
Yeah, yeah.
And so...
Real tanked.
You're going and fighting all of them and then there are special ones.
Captains,
who are
kind of,
captains, yeah. And so they're all randomly generated, apart from a few story ones, where there's this template of like, give it this voice with this face and
this weakness and this history. Like, Gol gashed the firehead and he's got like a weird burning helmet and he's like, he throws a flaming, you know, spear, but he's really weak to beasts or something. Like, but that's randomly generated and there's hundreds of them.
But all of them feel really developed and interesting.
They all feel like they're written characters.
When you meet them on the battlefield and whatever, they have a little thing that they say and it's always fun and it's always in like a British accent or similar.
Yeah, it manages to be this, in this like kind of persistent open world, moments that feel kind of cinematic because you'll be walking along, you'll be doing a fight and then all of a sudden the camera will stop and crane around and zoom in on this guy and he'll be like, hey, I'm going to fuck you up. And
it, man
like,
filth!
Yeah.
So they call you man filth all the time.
Yeah.
Great.
So it becomes, it's kind of like the best version of a persistent or procedurally generated game because it feels like it's written, and except it pops in at the, you know, at moments that are not scripted.
Right. And you feel like a participant in it because you kill one of these guys. Maybe he comes back later on with a patch over his face. He's like, you fucking tried to kill me, you piece of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then like you'll get killed by one of them and they'll remember that and go, well, you're back for more, are you? You know?
Right.
And,
oh, yeah. Cool. That's cool.
There'll be some of them who, it's been really cool, like going and setting one as a target to be like, okay, I'm going to go take over this guy. And then you come out of the menu and he's just there.
Yeah.
He's like, you're looking for me, cunt?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like they've all got, there's a lot of different sort of types of personality and little gimmicks that they have to make it feel constantly sort of fresh.
Yeah.
And I know you were putting some sauce on it there, but God, I'd love a Middle-earth theme game where you're just getting called the C-bomb constantly.
It's the closest to that that it
because the attitude is there.
Yeah. So those complaints you were saying about that are in the first one as well about the story and all that kind of stuff. When the first one came out, was that something that you saw? Were those complaints that you saw reflected in reviews that came out of the first one at the time?
I believe they were.
Because it seems weird that they, like, so do they clearly, they think it was good? Like, it's kind of such a weird thing when that's such a glaring issue for people.
It's tough
to not fix up or just kind of scrap it when everything else sounds so good.
The thing with the first one is that they invented this kind of a persistent evolving enemy system. Like that, it was a brand new piece of tech that hadn't been used before and kind of hasn't been since except for this sequel.
Yep.
And it was really, really good and really impressive. And so I think for me, I didn't really care about the story, but I think generally people forgave the weak story.
Yeah.
That was such an impressive thing to kind of debut in.
So they've kind of forgotten. They're like, people loved it, so they want more story.
The rest of that last game was kind of a bland Assassin's Creed style open world game.
Right.
Like, it wasn't, other than this stuff with the orcs.
Yeah.
The first game especially, it wasn't much more than that.
It was just like all the gameplay stuff was very well balanced and so it was quite fun.
Yeah.
But I think maybe that in the sequel where they've expanded the gameplay stuff to be even better, they've also not had time to focus on the story like with the first one.
Right.
Maybe they just haven't put time into it.
I mean, even if they have, it's just not good. You know?
Yes.
It's
absolutely.
It feels like it's in there because they didn't really know how to make a game without a main story bit to it.
Right.
It drives it and there's stuff that you do and the missions themselves are fun enough.
Yeah.
Like you do, you know, it's rescue these five people in this many minutes. It's all pretty simple stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if you're just going through skipping the cutscenes, which you're not wrong if you do.
Yeah.
You won't. It's just fun little activities that give you some experience.
Totally. And I kind of am really looking forward to getting to the bit where I have most of the skills and the world is open that I can try and do anything, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm playing through the story because it's unlocking stuff and I'm just getting to that point.
That's the same thing I'm doing with it. And it's like, it's not a chore because the stuff you're doing in the missions is fun.
Yeah,
but the story and the characters and all of that is just so bad that it does feel a little bit shitty to have to wallop through this stuff to get to the bit that I enjoy doing.
Especially, for the first time playing it, I'm just skipping cutscenes from like a second in. I'm like, all right, next thing please. Like, that's probably not a good sign.
Hearing all this is making me want to do it in the opposite way to you. Just watch all the bad cutscenes and not play any of the game.
Yeah, sick. Go do that. Watch a shitty 2-hour long movie.
Yeah, we'll get you the YouTube compilation.
Yeah, totally. That sounds great. Other things that we've played this week, we should mention that we each, thanks to the people at Sony, we each got sent a copy, a digital copy of Gran Turismo Sport.
Yes.
Now, at the time of recording, I have not played it yet because the 56 gigabyte download is still not finished. A big shout out to the internet providers in this country.
Yeah. NBN, hey, love ya.
Yeah.
You guys are fucking the worst.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm not worried they're going to like cut off my internet if they hear that, because they won't be able to download this 100 megabyte in this fucking stupid country. We have the worst. If you're not from here, yeah, Australia has the worst internet infrastructure.
Pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
And it's like, it was so politicized, it, like, what, four years ago, roughly, that 2013 election. I feel like it was a pretty big thing. And the current party that we have in, like, changed a pretty good plan that Labor had and now the Liberal Party is in, because they wanted to put their stamp on it.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
It sucks real bad.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it's like they can almost get away with it with pretty much everything else. Like, I think games, this is the big thing that is so glaring that makes you go, oh, that's right, our internet's really bad.
Yeah,
well,
that's
like
true.
Spotify, if you're streaming music or you're looking at Facebook, even Netflix, every now and then it's a bit touch and go, but for the most part you can get away with it. Whereas this, it's like, cool, I just bought this game that I want to play right now. Ah, fuck me, it's going to take 4 days to download.
Yeah. Well, and that's because we don't run a business that requires, like, there are plenty of business things that you could do that would require better internet than we have. Like, that's a weird thing. Whenever they talk about, like, the internet services they've done here, it's like, you could stream a movie at 4K.
Yeah.
A, barely.
Yeah.
B, that's not why we need the internet.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
internet isn't just to watch fucking Home Alone.
Yeah.
It's to, I don't know why that's the first movie in my head. Christmas is coming.
But I know, I work for a digital media company that's going to be impacted by this heavily.
It's ridiculous. Like, you're going to have AM podcasts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is a different thing, but
it's pretty bad. It's pretty frustrating. Anyway, I haven't played it yet. Have you got? I think you've played a bit of it, Ben.
Yeah, just this evening before we recorded, I played about four races.
Mm-hmm.
It is visually amazing.
Yep.
I haven't played one of these Gran Turismo games, I think, since the first. I might have, you know, like, dipped in, but I played the first a lot and loved it and got kind of like really into the leveling up and the unlocking stuff and getting the cars. And it's such a kind of involved driving sim.
Yeah.
And this reminds me of that, except from what I know, Knox, we were talking about it before we recorded, it doesn't have the same level of involvement.
Yeah. Well, like, exactly. The wrappings around it are gone. Basically, because in the previous Gran Turismo games, which I, have been a fan of kind of on and off, I think 4 was the last one I really played much of. The whole part of the thing with them is that there's 750 cars in here.
Yep.
And there's, you know, I always really liked that, like, you could buy the car your mum owned in 92.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They had these shitty cars in there too, which was cool.
Along with the amount of cars, there were, like, so many different kinds of challenges and things to unlock and ways to progress through the game.
Yeah. See, I've got friends who are, like, super car nuts who, like, love these games. It's like the franchise that they hang out for.
Yeah.
I literally someone asked me the other day, what kind of car do you drive, and I couldn't answer them. I honestly don't know what kind of car I have. Even now, I actually can't tell you off the top of my head.
This was a cop looking into your window.
It's never really had, like, the thing of it being super realistic, it's like, I don't care. So it's never had that kind of appeal for me. And I can appreciate all the level of stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
But who knows? Like, I mean, that means that I've never paid for one, but I'll definitely play this because we got a copy. So I don't know. Maybe I'll discover that I like it more than I'm expecting to. But it's just always felt like something that's just not for me in any capacity.
Yeah. And I know, like, you're into kind of the more arcadey racing games, but I still think, I think there's a level of, like, if you like racing games, then you like racing games.
Well, you know what? I didn't realize this until I turned it on, or as I was, like, installing it last night, I saw on the screen that you can play it in VR.
Yeah.
So that's appealing to me.
Yeah.
The being able to sit and look around and do all that. So I'm looking forward to giving that a crack with our headset.
And you own a car, so.
Yeah. So it's like I can pretend that, I can go from being in the real world sitting in a car that I have absolutely no idea what the make or model of it is, even though the logo is staring up at me from the steering wheel, then I can, like, drive that to my house, get out, and just recreate that experience on the TV with a headset on.
But a lot quicker and in a lot nicer car as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know exactly what type of car you own as well, but I know it's not a Ferrari.
It is.
I think it's a Maserati. Yeah.
It's like if
hard to remember.
It's like if it took me 3 days to get ready to get in my car. Is what the Gran Turismo downloading the game has been. Right.
Yes.
It's like, I'm like, geez, it'd be cool to go for a drive. And then I just kind of fuck around and do chores for 72 hours. And all of a sudden it's like, cool, the car's ready to go.
Yeah.
Like your garage door is just very slow.
You're just standing there checking your watch.
Those punk kids, they've gone in and fucked with the motor and my automatic door.
But you can open the garage door in the background and you can go and do something else. I've pushed the button that just sits there.
And I mean, look, I feel bad about how much electricity it's wasting for this garage door to be slowly opening throughout the night.
Well, the government ruined the garage door infrastructure.
Yeah, it was going to be fair. And now for 20 years, we're going to have worse garage doors than the rest of the company.
Oh, man.
And hey, it's like,
the world, the company.
You know, what do I care? Me and my housemates, we pay $26 a month each and we get like unlimited garage door opens. So it doesn't really affect us at all. We can open and close that thing as many times as we like.
It's
really funny how your garage door's name is Rick and Morty Pickle Rick. which is your garage door? I want to open it. It's Pickle Rick. That's my garage door. I'm doing Wi-Fi name joke.
Very good.
Wi-Fi. See, I didn't get that.
Yeah.
I just thought you were very egregiously wedging in a Rick and Morty reference.
No, I was, but with a specific Wi-Fi.
Well, I mean, I literally didn't understand. So my IQ actually not high enough to comprehend what was going on
just then. Funny Wi-Fi names is my favorite kind of comedy.
Is it really?
Yeah.
In like 2009 to 11,
yes.
It was a big mark of pride to have the funniest Wi-Fi name that you could.
Yeah.
I don't remember any good ones.
Mine is Battletoads 69.
Yeah.
That's good.
Which is pretty, a reference to this podcast, pretty much.
Fly for a Wi-Fi, went around for a while, yes. Those sort of ones.
Yeah.
Pretty every now and then, even in this day and age, I'll see someone, you know, sharing an image of a pop-up that's pretty fly for a Wi-Fi. Ooh. And it's like, you're posting this on the internet, so I know that you have access to it. How does a grown-ass man get to 2017 and not have seen that at least a dozen times a month already?
Yeah.
In brackets, Borat voice, my Wi-Fi
is another one. Yeah, not bad.
Mm-hmm. You don't mind that one?
I don't mind that one.
Okay.
Let's do an episode where we just review all of the Wi-Fi names that we've seen.
I would love to do that.
Yeah.
But then that week, none of us play any Wi-Fi names. So we just...
We got a new service provider recently, and we missed out on an opportunity because I was going to rename it.
Yeah.
But then by the time I was like, okay, well, what should we change the password and the name to? Everyone in the house had kind of already set it up on all of their devices.
Oh, no.
So now we've just got the generic thing that came with the modem, which feels like a cop out.
That's what I've got as well. And it's just me. I could change everything if I wanted to.
Yeah.
But I like just having factory resettable.
Oh, no.
Nice little blend. Anyone nearby can hack into it if they've ever had a similar one.
Yeah.
Well, our old one for a while before we changed over, I don't think I've ever said this on the show, but it was a combination Wi-Fi name and password because I'd brought the modem with me from my old house.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a Wi-Fi name and password that was an in-joke in a relationship that has now ended about a dog that is now deceased. And so people would come round, like people would stay over and go and ask for the name and password and they'd go, what does that mean? And then I'd have to explain, oh it's my ex and this dog that I used to have. What happened to the dog? He dead. Anyway, so the bathroom's just through there and there's no limit on the Wi-Fi, so go for your life. So, the factory default is you're never going to have to explain that to someone.
The bathroom's just behind a framed picture of my dead parents. I should really just take that down, but this whole house is depressing. Gran Turismo, though, has fewer cars than 750.
Yeah, right.
It's got like around 100 this time, and they're all, you know, very nice looking.
They look great, yeah.
But they're all focused on being, you know, very high performance, because sport is it like, there's often before proper full Gran Turismos have come out, there's been a little like, here's just a taste and it's a small version of this and you're still going to make you pay for it.
Yes.
But like a little prologue thing. And I feel like that might be what this is to the eventual 7, where there's not as many cars.
Is that
cars.
The movie that came before The Hateful Eight?
Yeah,
The Eventual Seven.
The Eventual Seven. Boy, you thought Hateful Eight went for a long time. This is Eventual, so they've taken a long time to get there.
Yeah.
David it's six Fincher. Hours of them walking to this house.
It was The Ridiculous Six, The Eventual Seven, and The Hateful Eight. A great series. A really good trilogy. Weirdly named for a trilogy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Star Wars. They started with six.
Yes. They started with six.
They're going to go back. It doesn't have as the like its career mode that the old Gran Turismos have, which you were saying before, like where you
was the kind of the best way to play it.
It's very lean, this game, compared to other Gran Turismo games and compared to a lot of racing games around at the moment.
Yeah.
But
because it also doesn't have something that like a Need for Speed has, where there's like combat and kind of aggressive racing.
Yeah, no, there's no gimmick.
Destruction. There's no gimmick. It's just like, be as fast as you can with these 100 cars.
And there's a few like challenges and stuff where it's like, race quickly in this challenge. None of the challenges are super crazy where it's like, beat King Kong, but with your car.
It's
just like, you're in third, get to first, goodbye.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing feels like a spreadsheet made it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
A little bit. Yeah.
It's very, and Gran Turismo's have always been a little bit like that.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, it like has this weird thing where, have you left it to go into like the screensaver mode?
I don't think so.
It comes up with just facts about years, which I'm really enjoying.
Facts about years.
Where it's just like...
So it's like an encyclopedia?
Yeah,
or?
In 1969, so it's like, man landed on the moon.
Oh. It's like this show. Does it tell you what age the developers were in each
no,
of those years?
It doesn't do that.
That would be great. 1976, and then every single person who worked in the game, how old they were in that year.
That should be how credits are done from now on.
By order of age.
No, just like list everyone who worked on the film and also the years... of
but what
history.
Year? What year are you picking?
Every single year in history.
It'd have to just be with period pieces.
Oh, yeah, so that's
not
bad.
Set in 1873.
But that's just... who? Like, everyone's just not born yet. Or you want the negative number that they were.
I guess, okay, sci-fi then, how old you would be.
Great. There you go.
Blade Runner. Original
2049.
Blade Runner.
How old would you be?
I'm trying to figure that exact one out.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was going to say the original Blade Runner, which was set in 2019.
I'll be 63.
Oh, in 2049?
Yeah.
I'll be 60 then.
I'll be 62.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Sounds good.
One.
2058 is the year I'm waiting for.
Oh, baby.
Ow!
I saw that movie on the...
Knox just did a shooey in that small bit of time before he started talking.
I saw... this is sort of video gamey because there was a Blade Runner video game once.
Yes.
I saw Blade Runner 2049 on the weekend.
Yeah.
Fucking good. I really liked this.
Yes.
Film.
Yes. Yeah. I really, really liked it.
Mm.
I think Ben Knox Vanille, is next down and then Tommy's third.
Ben Vanille Catnip is what I'm referring to it as.
Oh, yeah. It's exactly what I like.
Yeah, everything. It's. You should go see that movie if you feel like it.
Yep.
Maybe. I saw it next to possibly the most annoying stranger I've ever been seated next to in a film.
In what way?
This guy got up no less than six times to go to the bathroom and was gone for just too long every single time.
Yeah.
The reason he went so many times is because he had a big water bottle that he's just chugging out of. But he's you know what a water bottle
six
like?
Six times in a movie, though. Yeah. Like, he's got something going on as well.
But he also... he was drinking from this water bottle that was like, you know, if you've got like a little, I don't know, if the nozzle that you're drinking out of is like a little make that hissing, squeaking sound.
Oh, sure. Yeah. The suction. Like,
why
it's
was
not,
that
yeah.
so hard to describe?
But no one's ever had to describe that before, I don't think.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's that. So it's that's very loud. It's just
like someone's emptying a balloon next to you.
Yeah, yeah, that.
Time.
Like
every
when
time
you get
a
shit, like
a
sometimes it happens with an instant, like not an instant, a coffee, like a with the little,
you get
little,
a little
hole.
Squeak.
It's a little squeak, a little, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 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 It's that. The
or
picture
if you like
most...
start to crush a mouse, you get the same sort of sound where it's like a little squeak, a little satisfying pop at the end.
And then a squelch.
Yeah, and you feel like a god.
Mm.
But this was like a team of like, you know, sound designers had worked on this for hours before the film to get it at full ear-piercing volume.
Oh,
like, I swear you would have been able to hear it at the front of the cinema. So it's those two things in tandem.
Yep.
Then at the very end of the film, film ends, credits roll, he leans into the person who's sitting in front of him who he knows. Now, that's a mark of what a piece of shit this guy is. He's there with a mate. They don't even want to be seated. They need a row of distance from him.
Ooh.
He leans into them and he goes, bit of a stupid ending. Mate, you're fucking not present in the cinema for like fucking 70 minutes of the movie. You missed all the key plot points that led up to the ending.
Yeah.
No shit, you think it's stupid.
Yeah.
That storyline about the guy pissing in the toilet didn't go anywhere.
Those ads about prostate cancer were laying it on a bit thick. I know it's a dystopian future, but fucking hell.
When I went and saw Gravity, I went and saw it on my own, which I like doing with movies.
Me too. I've done that a fair bit this year, yeah.
Yeah.
And I sat in a seat.
Okay.
In a relatively empty cinema. This
Holy
is a couple of weeks
shit.
After
Great start.
Gravity had come out. I didn't just stand at the edge.
So this was a couple of weeks after Gravity came out?
Yes. Yeah,
so before that you were floating?
Oh my God.
Get me on the stage, boys!
The sassy computer has done it again.
You got a fast processor this week.
It's weird because I'm the most tired I've ever been in my entire life.
So the cinema was relatively empty, is my point. I had a nice little bucket of popcorn.
Yeah,
I was gonna eat from during the film.
Let me guess, little hole cut in the bottom of that box.
Hey, I want to give myself a nice little trick. So I put that next to me in the hole, because it's a small one, because it's just me.
Yeah.
Or as small as movie popcorn goes. And
yeah, right.
It fit in the...
So it's like bloody
3 liters.
Brain silo.
Yeah, oh, bloody dragged it in with my wheelchair. Beep, beep, backing up my popcorn.
By the way, just very quickly, I think one of the worst like hospo jobs would be working the candy bar at a cinema.
Yeah.
Because your whole day is just fucking smart-ass jokes about the size and cost of the two things you sell.
Yep.
Don't you think that would be the most unbearable part of it? All day. Like someone ordering a large and then you handing them this fucking 6-liter thing and them going, oh, is that all you get? You know what I mean? Just that, $15, that's pretty reasonable for a drink. it'd drive you to insanity.
I used to work at a cinema and that did happen. And it drove me to insanity.
There you go.
And that's why I am the way I am now.
This explains so much.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Still working in that cinema, but you've just gone crazy. This is the middle of a shift.
Oh,
and
God.
You've thought out the rest of your life.
Oh, man.
And that big toucan that works as the whistle in the Flintstone cinema you work at.
Oh.
I couldn't think of what ends at a cinema shift. But anyway, put it next to me. It's slightly too big for the cup holder, but I'm balancing it on there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's sitting nice and comfortable.
Sitting
like
pretty?
Table. So it's... pretty empty cinema, no allocated seating.
Yep.
Someone walks in, they're going to see the movie too. I'm more than okay with this at this point.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
They've got every right to watch this film.
You didn't book out the whole cinema.
No, not this time. But there's only about maybe 7 other people in this cinema.
Okay.
It's pretty empty.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
what
yeah.
movie was it? I missed the 8 times that you said the title so far.
It was Gravity.
Excellent.
It was Alfonso Cuarón's Gravity.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So this other gentleman walks into the cinema. He gives a look around,
mm-hmm.
obviously deciding, where do I want to sit?
Yeah.
He's got nothing with him, he hasn't gone for a snack.
Yep.
He's just walking in, he's going to see him film, clean living,
yep.
make his way out.
Okay.
He looks around, he's got many seat options.
I wonder where this is going.
I'm bamboozled,
he's
I have
got
no idea.
Whatever the capacity of a cinema is, -8,
yes.
that's how many seats he has to choose from.
Yeah.
He looks
this
around.
This is making The Lord of the Rings look like one of those little Pixar shorts that they play.
And then Faramir comes in.
Oh.
Now, he didn't come in the original, but he comes in this one. So this guy comes up. And he's going to sit next to me.
Oh.
Is that what's happening?
Because he goes down the other side of the aisle and he's shifting.
A bit of warning would have been nice.
Because I'm like maybe 3 in from the edge of my aisle.
Yeah. Right.
He goes to the other aisle.
Oh my God.
And starts moving in towards me. I'm like, well, he's going to stop 3 away.
Yeah.
He keeps going.
Oh, wow. No.
And he comes and he's right next to me and he goes, this is where I'm going to sit. He doesn't say it, but you know, he okay.
Everything about
to
his
down.
Body language says that.
Yeah.
On his way down. Almost empty cinema, any number of seats. He chose next to me, okay. Then as he sits down, knocks over the popcorn.
Great.
Oh,
it goes everywhere.
Great.
It lands on the floor. It doesn't go everywhere. It goes in a pretty small area relatively. But
it covers the entire world.
Yeah. it knocks over all on the floor. And he goes, oh, sorry. He's a French guy.
Oh,
and he goes, oh, what a
the
twist.
Worst kind of people.
Sorry. He doesn't make a movement to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. In my head, if I'd have been enough of a psychopath to sit next to someone in that cinema and I knocked over their popcorn, I would have gone, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'll buy you another. I'll pick up what's here. I'll buy you another.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry about that. He says, oh, sorry. Makes no movement.
Brutal.
Does nothing.
Right.
And doesn't go to pick it up. and I moved, you know, further away
from
him.
You moved?
Yeah. I make a movement.
Yeah. I wish he'd followed you.
I got up and I moved and, yeah, it was...
And you didn't get any popcorn?
I really hated that film. No, I didn't go get more popcorn. I can't afford it. $15 for popcorn. Oh, so
at least you get a bloody family.
Bloody mortgage my bloody house, mate.
I don't know, order a popcorn
a week's worth of food.
Those moments where a stranger commits what you think is an extremely obvious social faux pas and you're put in a position of like, yeah. Well, everything about me is telling me I got to say something about this, but also I just shouldn't have to. Like, yes. Why am I needing to tell this person this?
When it's that far beyond, you're stunned enough that like there's no going like, hey, why did you do that? Because you're like, okay, well, something's clearly gone on here that,
I've missed.
I never thought I would have to deal with. Yeah. I must be wrong.
Yeah, right.
You seeing Gravity has reminded me of when I saw Interstellar. I went with comedian David Quirk, if people know him.
Yes.
We went and saw it when we were doing gigs in Sydney.
Yeah.
And we got to the end, and you know, that's kind of a film that was good to see with a bunch of people because there's a lot to kind of unpack at the end of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're sitting there, a few of us who were there having beers afterwards. And you know, we're all the rest of us are debating like, oh, what did this mean? And oh, was this any good or was this a bit ham-fisted?
Yeah.
And Quirk goes, yeah, I all of a sudden like remembered that we have this gig tonight and like I was weighing up how much time was left in the film versus what time the gig started and how long it was going to take me to get there. And I got genuinely stressed out that we weren't going to be able to make it out of the movie in time for the gig and that time was just against me. So in many ways, it kind of felt like I was in the movie. That great bit in the scene where Matthew McConaughey just can't read a fucking clock.
That's very David Quirk.
It's very David Quirk. Should we do a quick throw to our sponsor this week?
Sure. To wrap it up though, Gran Turismo Sport, bare bones, but the what's there seems good.
If that's your bag, baby, it seems good. Now let's get onto our sponsor, Hoyt Cinema, who very generously have...
Popcorn watches. Movement watches are sponsoring us. They've sponsored us before. They're sponsoring us again. They gave us some watches. They're very nice.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a company that was founded by a couple of broke college kids who wanted to make some really fancy watches.
Oh, but so is that TV show, is that sitcom Two Broke Girls based on these guys?
I believe it is.
Oh,
yeah.
Fantastic.
They just changed the gender.
and where they work.
Oh, yeah. They didn't work in a watch shop?
No.
Okay. Haven't seen it. But what I have seen is those great, great prices of the Movement watches.
Those two hands staring back at me as I look down at my wrist.
They keep the costs of the watches down by just selling them online.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are about $135 Australian, which is incredibly cheap for a watch.
Yep.
Usually they're about $500 for something that's actually good quality.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, by selling them online, they cut out the middleman. There's no markup. They provide you, the consumer, the best possible price.
A lot of people don't seem to like this middleman I keep hearing about.
Yeah.
Seems like a poorly liked person.
That's a great comedy sketch. The middleman. And he's just walking around having a shit. I don't know. You the bloody sketch.
Well,
the bloody full frontal over here. You guys.
In a comedy sketch, you have a straight man and a funny man. And I guess now you have a middleman. And he gets cut out of the sketch, I guess.
Yeah. At some point, he's too expensive to save the sketch. Savings.
He doesn't really add anything.
Now the ball's rolling.
Well, now we're going to have to cut out this ad because of this great sketch we've come up with.
Come see Chimp Cup. They've sold over 1 million watches in over 160 countries, which just seems like bragging, but hey, good for them.
Yeah.
I guess it's a sign that they're probably good watches.
They are good watches. I've got them.
I'm wearing mine right now.
Yeah. I got one and gave it to my girlfriend. The end.
Does she like it?
Yeah.
Cool.
And I like her. So
So by proxy, you like the watch.
Exactly.
Great. Yeah.
I won't admit to it any other way.
See, that's the middleman.
Yeah. But if you want to get one, and I suggest you do because they are really, really good, you get this special deal by using Filthy Casuals as the middleman.
Mm-hmm.
You go to mvmt.com/filthycasuals and you get 15% off. You don't have to enter a code. If you just use the URL, it automatically does a little coupon code for you. It's 15% off and you get free shipping and you get a free return. So if it doesn't fit or you just decide you don't like that particular one, you can return it and get a replacement free of charge. So thanks again to Movement Watches for supporting Filthy Casuals.
Yeah, if you're looking into getting a watch and you know they're doing the right thing, they're helping out this show that you like, go have a look. Go get something from them because it helps us out And, you know, we've big-noted ourselves to them, so
vmt.com/filthycasuals.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about the new Wolfenstein 2 trailer.
Yeah.
Sure.
That we just watched before we recorded this.
Yes, if you'd like to listen to us commentate that, it'll be on YouTube tomorrow probably.
Yeah, yeah, so we've been, well, I mean, of course it depends on when you're listening to this.
That's true, it could already be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It might be there
2049,
yesterday.
2049, I'm 60.
Have we been mentioning this on the show yet, that we've been doing a little thing the last 3 weeks before we've recorded? We've done a little, we've just talked over the top of a trailer and then put it on YouTube like the same day.
Yeah.
So I think there's like, well, there'll be three of them now.
Yes.
Yeah. The start of our YouTube production machine.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Cranking its gears up.
Yeah, you're right. I don't think we have mentioned it on the show. Yeah. So go have a listen.
But yeah, they've been really fun to do and people liking them so far. So we'll keep doing them as a bit of a mic check thing is what we're calling it.
Yeah,
mic test.
Mic test.
Because we don't want to tread on any toes of our friends who host a Mike Myers podcast.
Yes.
But so yes, that is coming out. That's out in like the next couple
next week.
Of weeks.
Is it
next week?
Same.
Next Friday. It's Mario, yes. Assassin's Creed Origins and that all on the same day.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Big day.
Yeah.
And PAX stand-up. I should mention that because that'll be next week. If you're in Melbourne.
Oh yeah.
I'm doing stand-up at PAX on the Friday. Yeah. Of other people.
What a big day that's going to be for you.
Yeah.
You're going to play one game?
I'm not going to have any time.
That is kind of funny that PAX, the social aspect of this like community is starting on the day when all this stuff comes out. Yeah. That means that all the people that go to that thing are just going to want to be in their houses playing these games.
I guess the good thing is that you can take your Switch there and play Mario there. I guess a lot of people would be doing that.
Yeah, I'll probably maybe do that.
Yeah.
But it comes out next week and it looks great.
It looks great. So what's happened is in the lead up to this, they've been doing a lot of marketing where they were sort of, you know, focusing on the kind of the killing Nazis angle of the game.
Yep.
Which then
so
all those...
the game.
Well, the game, yeah. The weird, all the fucking dickhead alt-right people kind of started sort of turning on it and going, well, I shall not be buying this game if you're going to be politicizing it.
What a world we live in now where someone thinks, oh, you're being mean to Nazis. I have the moral high ground in saying that's
Pepe,
bad.
A lot of Pepe avatars.
To be fair.
Oh.
To be fair.
Don't Rick and Morty my ass.
A lot of their marketing isn't just like Nazis are bad. It's specifically taking slogans of the alt-right and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And reworking them to make it about Nazis. So it's Make America Nazi Free Again.
Yep, which is also good because the alt-right are horrible people.
But I can see the point of someone saying you are deliberately calling us Nazis.
They are doing that. Yeah. Yeah, they have been. Well, so this is the thing. So they were sort of doing that. Then there was like a bit of a, I guess you could call it backlash from these people, kind of getting the shits up, which who cares what they think, but that still did happen.
Yeah.
So then they turn around and go, oh, no, it's not, you know, it's not, you know, we're not politicizing it and we're not. And they kind of back away a bit.
Yeah.
Then they start putting up all these new ads that say, if you're a Nazi, GTFO.
Yeah.
And like, if there's only two sides,
showing
Nazis and everyone else. Like,
someone punching a Nazi.
Someone punching it. So it's like they've kind of like, tried to appease them and gone, no, we're not being political. It's just a coincidence. And they've just absolutely doubled down and gone hell for leather with it, which I have to say as a marketing tactic, I'm into. I haven't been this into an ad since the Marvin Gaye Sultana brand ads all those moons ago.
Knox's family refusing to buy Wolfenstein 2.
the fact that video game is about Nazis taking over America in the 60s, like, it makes that, like, them taking current events and using them to promote this game about Nazis. It's crazy that there are current events that are even seemingly close enough.
It's crazy timing. I mean, when they started working on this, it would have been still high fantasy. And now it's just kind of...
I mean, like the first one was 2014 and I'm assuming they got to work on it pretty soon after that.
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, it's in an ideal world, they wouldn't have this nice circumstance, but there must be a part of them that's like, well, I mean, this is kind of cool for our marketing.
Yeah,
this is all just happening in the world, at least like, some. Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's entertaining to watch. Like, it, you know, I love seeing those guys get shitty on the internet, like them getting, you know, pissed off and stuff.
And like, I saw in the launch trailer, there's a Ku Klux Klan member getting shot, which is shocking because I've seen that costume in news stories lately, which is shocking in itself. You know, it's like, that shouldn't be happening.
You just don't see them, like, representations of them in an entertainment product very often.
Yeah.
And that's the surprising thing. It's not them being shot. It's the fact that, like,
they're fucking going for it with this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then at the end of the trailer, like Hitler's there. He's the, like, it's just, it's so weird that this is,
it's kind of weird
to see Nazis and to shoot them again when, like, think about 15 years ago and we're like, oh, we're sick of Nazis. We get it. They're over with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think about Inglourious Basterds was like an alternate history, like crazy over the top movie.
Yeah.
And to think that there's any relevance now is, it's just kind of sad.
I mean, this one is kind of by accident, but and then you've got Far Cry 5, which when they announced that trailer, again, people got shitty of like, oh, this is making all religious stuff. I mean, games have always been like escapism and stuff, and I kind of like this, you know, I think it's an interesting shift where it goes from we've got these, you know, really big prevalent problems in the world at the moment and gaming sort of shifting to, you know, offer a, you know what I mean? Like kind of an escape to that and like a counteraction to like...
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels powerless and like these things are just going on and it's really, you know, irreversibly fucked. But hey, we can pretend we live in a world where we, you know, where we get to fucking do something about it.
Yeah.
And I can see how people on one side of politics or like a small subsection of one side of politics would be annoyed with being... with
compared,
their perception of people conflating them with Nazis.
Yeah.
But if... so many people are doing that. Think about whether you're the victim of some like Fuhrer that's taken over. The word Fuhrer, F-U-R-O-R. not the victim of a Fuhrer from the past. But
this is a great game show. Fuhrer or Fuhrer? Am I angry or am I a dictator? Guys?
Or am I both?
Bachelor number one.
I made that sentence a lot more difficult for myself than it needed to be. But I can see the... you have to think about like, well, if so many people are conflating me with a Nazi, then why?
But that's what's so perfect about this. Yeah. I mean, like the majority of these alt-right dickheads, they're all gamers. Like it's fucking perfect.
Yeah. Gamergate fucking, like, it's such a weird, like, Archduke Franz Ferdinand being assassinated thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just like, who would have thought that this fucking thing is how...
Yeah, I can't wait for that cool indie band Gamergate to re-energize rock music in about, you know, whatever, 50 years' time. I think it looks great.
Have played that before... the episode from the next one, like 106 or whatever. I'm going to play that when it comes out.
We should say, looking ahead, Ben and I are both off overseas at the end of next week.
Yeah.
We're not going to have a disruption in... We've worked out how to... We're going to record with you over Skype just before you get back and just after I get back.
Yep.
We're lucky that those kind of overlap. But in terms of us having the time to have kind of played everything that's out, we're all going to do our best, but it's kind of unfortunate timing that these two trips have fallen on. But I'll
definitely be able to get Mario Odyssey
the
day before I leave, and so I'll take my Switch with me and I'll be playing it. So I'll be talking about that.
I think I'll have to probably get Wolfenstein like the day I get back and maybe play it for a couple of hours before we record. We'll work it out, but just so you know in advance, guys, that's what's going on.
Yeah.
I think it looks. I'm really into it. I'm fascinated to see how it pans out on the Switch, given that it's coming out at the same. Are they all launching on the same day?
No. It's next year is the Switch.
Oh, it's next year. Okay, right.
Because they said last week, I think that Doom is like November 10th or something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Wolfenstein is sometime next year.
I'll be really interested to see. What that ends up looking like.
There was some footage of Doom on the Switch, I think, came out, and that seemed fine.
It looks surprisingly good.
Yeah.
Like, better than you'd probably expect.
They've kept the speed up, which is the thing with that game.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
If it's next year on the Switch, this is the thing that's going to kill ideas like that, is like if there's too much time in between them, then it's just not worth I just want to go in day one, so I'll be getting that on the PlayStation. I guess if you love it enough, then when it comes out on the Switch, it's like you can, if you were wanting to play it again anyway, playing it on the go is probably attractive to some people, but it does, you know,
it's hard. They need to figure, because like the pricing of this stuff is weird as well. Like with L.A. Noir coming out as well, I just saw a listing for that. That's like $79.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's the price of a full game.
Yeah.
And it's 6 years old.
And it wasn't a particularly well-reviewed game at the time.
Yeah. If you knew that Wolfenstein was going to be cheaper when it came out on the Switch or whatever, like, but it won't be. And it's not like movies and DVDs where you can go like, I can't be bothered, I'll just wait.
Yeah.
They need to come out with parody.
At some point. But it looks great. I loved the New Order and the old blood. They're just kind of like the most recent Doom game, just kind of old-fashioned first-person shooters that look fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't play either of those. Like, I do like those old-school shooters, even though I'm generally not into first-person stuff, but that is the kind of stuff I enjoy. So, yeah I think this will be a big one for me for the combination of, you know, not having played something like this for a while and kind of my first entry into the franchise.
Yeah, killing Nazis.
Yeah.
So good.
It looks like a lot of fun.
Yep.
Did we want to talk about any new stuff, or did we want to go into a couple of other things that we've played?
The only other big news thing was EA shutting down Visceral Entertainment, who they made the Dead Space games and some other stuff. They were working on a new Star Wars game.
Yeah, they brought over Amy Hennig from Naughty Dog, who, as far as I know, this was what she'd been working on for ages.
Like 3 years
like
or something.
Like since she left Naughty Dog,
And she basically left to do this, I think.
Yeah, I believe so.
Because she left, didn't she start to do a bit of work on Uncharted 4? I think she did some very, very early. I don't know.
I can't remember. I feel like she might have been involved with that 1313 thing that got cancelled in like 2012.
Right.
That like when Disney bought LucasArts, it got shut down.
Yeah.
And so this has been in the works for a long, long time, whichever way it was. And they pivoted what the focus is, but shut down the entire studio that's working.
Yeah.
On it.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a fucking
word,
pivot.
You can't use the word pivot and then close a studio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one
bad news for you, your grandfather's pivoted. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what, he just turned in his bed? No, he's dead.
Yeah. It's like one of those videos just like looking in the dictionary and going, that it can mean that. The word can mean that. Yeah. Where's the line?
It kind of means move away. So,
you move between model coils. So that's all shut down. There's not a clear reason why. They've just said that it's pivoted. A lot of people are speculating that it's to shift it into a Destiny-ish kind of more online, less single-player focused thing.
I swear that I saw a quote or a statement that was like, the investors were concerned that the game wasn't going to present an ongoing gaming experience for fans.
Right.
So what that kind of implies, I thought, was like maybe multiplayer or maybe some kind of, like with Shadow of War, there's this end game where you can keep building up fortresses and keep unlocking stuff and kind of keep moving through that kind of as long as you want, which if it's an Uncharted style single player game, obviously you can't. There might be online multiplayer, but certainly the main experience ends at a certain point.
There's other people, like a couple of news people, reporters for different websites and whatever, saying as well that like it isn't that they just the game wasn't going well, it was a mess.
Yeah,
but I can believe that as well, because if it's been in production for so long, I feel like I've seen nothing of it.
It
definitely probably, you know, was
there was I think like
a red flag
30-second test footage thing that was released, which looked incredible. It looked like Uncharted style, but in the Star Wars world, it looked really good.
If they are shifting it away from that, that would suck, because I would love to play that game.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see what comes out about it from here on out, because you got to imagine that's a pretty huge bummer for her for having left this huge company.
What does that mean
she,
for all the people working there? Like, are they just on different games?
Yeah.
Left this great company that she'd kind of put on the map through her work with this big franchise to do something that seemed like a dream job. And then if it's not going to see the light of day in the way that she was envisioning it, that's a huge and what a waste of getting someone on who's got proven success in doing what they do, and to just then shelve it for some what seems like, if this stuff is true, a pretty dumb reason.
Yeah, that's the thing. If the reason is we actually don't want to release this kind of game because we don't think it's as profitable, that would be awful.
Yeah.
If it is like, oh no, this was a messy production and it's
better
time to cut our losses, then I guess you can understand that. It's still a shame. But
this just happening at a time when it does feel like there's a bit of a shift away from that sort of single, in like the, whatever you call it, like AAA type of games, at least a shift away from the big single player thing, which has been happening for years.
I suppose so, but
also kind of isn't happening now. Like some of the biggest games this year are single player games.
I was going to say you'd have to think that the model of release a very big game and then release DLC, or with what happened with Uncharted, start to make DLC, but then release it as a full game because it's as good, that's still going to make a lot of money.
You see these aberrations like
Battlegrounds or like GTA 5 or these crazy things where they, or Minecraft even, where it's like they sell Mega Millions and whatever because they've got, oh, these loot boxes are in it, and oh, there's constant DLC or there's an online subscription or whatever. It happened with World of Warcraft as well.
Yeah.
When that got really big, every second studio was going out and going like, okay, we need to make a massive multiplayer game. People must love them.
Yeah, true.
They don't love them. They love this one that happened.
This
bandwagoning on a flash in a pan sort of popular thing that, that is more of an event than a new type of product is that, a very dangerous thing to
do. It's a very common thing that happens, though, in every medium.
It happens in every medium.
And it's all these followers going like, oh, like they tried to do the fucking Dracula cinematic universe and whatever. People don't like Marvel movies because just because of them being interlinked.
The universe,
They're not going to show up to the fucking, you know, Sex and the City cinematic universe and now Melrose like, Place is in it or whatever.
It's like copying. It's like that thing that you're trying to copy the success of was successful because there hadn't been anything like it.
Yeah.
Like that's, but you see it in everything. This trying to replicate it, and it's like, yeah, they got to that position by taking a risk and doing something new. Like it's insane to me that studios just don't get that.
Yeah.
You're better off spending the money on having a crack at four things that are completely different, and hopefully one of them lands and becomes the big thing that justifies the rest of it, rather than funneling all this money into just doing the same thing as another company.
Yeah.
I guess the reason you see it so often, though, is because so many industries are set up in a way where creative decisions aren't being made by creative people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where, you know, you get an executive fucking going, maybe fucking, I don't know, Dracula's got a friend now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I imagine that's how that happened.
Yeah.
And then people, like, Shadow of War, we didn't really talk about the loot stuff in it, but
it's in there.
And it seems like someone has come along and gone, what if you fucking put this in there? And they're like, ugh, fine.
Yeah.
And it's not there. It's not something that is there from the ground up. Like, we want to have this in our game. It makes sense.
Totally. What you kind of unlock are, like, the bits of equipment and followers.
Yeah.
Both of which you get by just playing the normal game. It's not like they've had to develop these separate things to make them unlockable. They've gone, let's artificially put some of these things behind a paywall.
Right.
And it's after you've finished the majority of the game that it becomes tempting,
Yeah. Well, this kind of ties into what we were talking about last week with loot boxes and stuff, and how were they not classed as gambling, which since we talked about that on the show, there's been a bit more movement.
Yeah.
With that, one of the ratings boards kind of came out and clarified.
Well, yeah, the ESRB in America, people were trying to get them to be to ban it or something. They came out and they're like, that's not us.
Yeah.
We can't do that. We just say what's in the game.
Yeah.
We don't have the
legislative power. Yeah.
We can't change gambling laws in this country.
Yeah.
But it was basically basically why doesn't that affect the rating? And them having to sort of go, well, here's why it's not. Here's why it doesn't technically classify as gambling.
Exactly.
Yeah, because our ratings are based on certain things like language and nudity and, you know, adult themes and stuff like
that. An MP in England has put some motion. I don't really know the specifics of that, but an MP, which stands for...
don't say massive penis.
No.
Because I already thought of that.
Military police is the only...
That's
a slight pivot.
I don't actually know what... Member of Parliament.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, so maybe stuff will move on that. I have a feeling in my gut that it's going to stop making money and go away like the online passes did and that sort of stuff.
Oh, really?
And it will change to something else because I can't see there being enough space in people's lives for every game to have this thing and for them to make money because of that.
I guess so. Maybe it's going to be like 3D in movies where they push it really hard for an annoyingly long time and then it slowly fades away.
And then make four more avatars for some fun.
Oh, yeah, it's coming back. Oh, no.
So in terms of what we've all played, I have not actually played that much this week. Beyond what we've already talked about. Well, I mean, I hadn't played any of them either. A game came out in the last week on the Switch, which I was looking forward to because the trailer looked extremely my shit.
Yeah.
This game called Yono and the Celestial Elephants, which is like a isometric. You're a little elephant and you run around doing puzzles and stuff. And I've played barely any of it. It's fine. I was really excited for it because the art style and everything looked like exactly the kind of thing I'm into. But I think it's just a product of, you know, there's been a lot of good stuff out in the last couple of months and a lot of stuff that really has grabbed me. And
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with this game. It does everything well, it just doesn't do it exceptionally enough to have really made me go, ah, fuck yeah, when it's like a lot of stuff that I have played in the last 2 months
like
really
you're
has done that.
Reading out one of my school reports.
I just was kind of going through it and was just like, oh, this is all pleasant enough, but it's not really, it's just not doing it for me.
Yeah.
And
how much was it?
It's 20. But you know what? I think a big thing is too. Like it, like a lot of that stuff that comes out that has a very kind of like playful or childlike aesthetic. There's actually a bit of depth to it that's popular in games. This actually just feels like it is much more for the audience that it looks like it's for.
Right.
It's like, oh, this is kind of a kid's game.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
It's a noticeably like I don't think there's much challenge or much in it. I mean, I'll still give it a little more of a go and see if that's unfair or not. But it just more speaks to the volume of it. Did make me realize, oh, I've been playing a lot of really good stuff lately.
Yeah,
like in any other, you know, in any other month or year or whatever, it probably would have stuck out a bit more. But it just, Stardew, I played a bit more of after we talked about it last week. Stardew Valley, and it did again. Like it sitting there. In a session of it going, oh, okay, I get this now. Yeah, I'm about to get hooked.
Yeah.
And then I turn it off and I don't, I don't think about it again until I like force myself to turn it back on again.
Right.
So I don't know, but I know that you almost immediately, Ben, after last week, you went right in.
Like almost, I think, that night did the thing that I was thinking that I would, which is go fully in.
Yeah.
And yeah, like couldn't go to work for another couple of days. So I just kind of laid in bed playing Stardew Valley and got completely into it. I did the other thing that I mentioned was look up a few tips.
I found that helpful. Yeah.
That totally got me into it.
And I do like that you get little quests in it. Like I like that each day you get up and it's like, oh, this person lost their rake. Go and find that. Like I do like that it does give you little things to go do.
See, the most annoying real life don't every day. So I was like, I lost my rake again.
Yeah. I live on a farm. I got to walk all the way into town to find your fucking rake.
Yeah. I walk down.
Guess what? I look next to it. It's not here. All right. I've helped. Bye.
I'm going to walk to my neighbor's house. Now, in my world, that takes 6 hours out of my day.
So you know how you said, Nox, that you would look to your left, not find it, and continue with your day?
Yep.
That's what I've been doing. I haven't been doing the quests at all, really.
Right.
Like, from what I understand, you don't really have to.
No.
Like, it's not like anything happens if you ignore that person's request. You just don't fulfill that quest. And you get
I've got a little bit of an OCD thing where it bugs me knowing that those little things are sitting in that menu unchecked.
See, you don't even have to accept them.
Right.
So if you don't accept, they're not in your
journal.
Oh,
they go away?
Yeah.
Okay, right. I didn't know that.
Knowing that they're there, I'm the same way when there's anything, I want
to
do it.
And so I did accept like four kind of because I thought you had to, and so I'm doing those.
Right.
And there are other ones I know now that are like, oh, go to the old town hall and look for the mice.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Kind of I did that.
Does lead to apparently kind of like a bigger ongoing thing.
So that's what I was going to ask is if you don't accept them and nothing negative happens.
Yeah.
Are you missing out on positive, like, do they get more interesting in there?
I think so, and I think that a lot of the kind of upgrades are not necessarily fully tied to quests, but, or you go to the mines because you need to get some ore to upgrade all of your tools.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, a guy there who's like, oh, you should do this, and you kind of, if you go further down, then this happens. And so it is kind of all kind of naturally, you know, interwoven.
Right.
My problem is I just haven't gotten... I feel like with these things, you always hit a point where it's like your tools are upgraded enough. You've got enough you sort of have to wade through a lot to get yourself to a point where everything's just kind of happily cooking away on all cylinders effectively.
Yeah.
And I haven't gotten to that thing where I'm like generating enough thing to get the upgrades to make all the stuff go faster.
Right.
I'm still just like each day is like I do two little things that don't seem to be getting me to that point quite quick enough.
Right.
And I know that's just a patience thing and that's the point of the game, but I feel like it's way easy to get sucked in once you're actually turning shit over and you're able to like upgrade and buy new stuff quicker and quicker.
When those plates are spinning nice.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like I, for a second, played I played this thing. It was called like Paperclip Maker or something.
Oh, yes, I played that for a bit as well, yeah.
And it's just one of those clicker games where there's nothing to actually do. You're not actually doing anything. You're watching numbers go up.
Yeah.
But there's something about it where you're like, well, I need more of them. I need more of these
numbers. Weirdly, I didn't get that with that or any Cookie Clicker game. I never got into Cookie Clicker or anything.
Cookie Clicker. We've talked about Cookie Clicker before.
I think we have, yeah, yeah.
Cookie Clicker came up in, we haven't talked about it for ages, but a Facebook games group that a bunch of us are in with some people we know and some people we've never met before.
Yes.
But it
various identities from the Australian media landscape.
Yes, yes. But Cookie Clicker got posted in there when I first got added into the group.
Right.
And people went insane for it, and there was like an ongoing thread of like people at work leaving their work computers on because you could like set it automatically.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I was having it running in the background while I did some other stuff and then coming back to it and being like, oh, why haven't you sold more paper clips yet?
Right,
yeah.
But
people, turned into a real Victorian era awful boss.
But people leaving it, like people leaving their work computers on and coming back 15 hours later.
Right.
And checking in the group in the morning going, get a look at this, boys. So in the middle of all of this happening, Grand Theft Auto 5 comes out. A week later, someone posts in the group and goes, can anyone else not believe that we literally forgot to talk about GTA 5 because we were all going on about fucking Cookie Clicker? It just made me feel so dirty. Like, it's kind of the worst gaming experience where I've ever had where I'm like, this is... Like I was saying, Stardew makes me feel this a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
This is the extreme of it. An absolute waste of time. Indefensible waste of time.
It taps into something very primal in your brain. Just like wanting to gather more berries to live.
Yeah.
Probably. Like, someone looking at you going, what the fuck's that? If it's like a Uncharted or something, you can come up with a list of like, you might not get it, but here's what I get out of
this. Yeah, humans like stories. You know,
Clicker game, you're like, I'm just watching this counter go up.
I wouldn't say it like a robot that had never had a human.
Humans like stories, I believe, from my studies.
Anyway, if you've never had your life fully ruined, I fully recommend finding Cookie Clicker.
So, because Stardew Valley sounds a lot like it shares very sort of makeup with those sort of games.
It does. On a base level, it does. But it's also... very pleasant music. All the like designs are very nice, but it also has that thing of like building your own thing, like designing and your farm and choosing how it looks and choosing where to put stuff, which again is a very kind of natural thing. It's like, you know, I used to live up in the hills and we had like a big garden, and I was like, I'm gonna have a herb garden. I have to lay it out and dig it up.
Bro.
Yeah. Woo. What's the time? Is it?
Ow.
Is it 4:20?
Somewhere, bruh.
But yeah, it taps into that as well. That kind of that thing of building stuff. It's why I like city building games as well.
Yeah, like I said last time, I feel like a new Animal Crossing isn't that far away, and I don't feel like I have it in me to do too many of these styles of games too close together.
Yeah.
And I like the feel and the look of that a lot more, and I feel like that will have definitely an online component where you can visit each other's towns and all that sort of stuff. So I kind of take more pride in that sort of version of this game. So I'm kind of, there's a little part of me still going, maybe I'll just hold out for that, because I don't think either a mobile version or a Switch version is too far off. But who knows? But I still, like I said, the last time I played it, I was like, okay, this is it. It's gotten its hooks into me.
Yeah.
And then I also have been a bit busier this week than usual, so I just haven't had as much time to play any game.
That's the thing as well. Yeah, I played it solidly for like 3 days, and then I started playing Shadow of War.
Mm.
So, but it's the fact that it's on the Switch I've started doing the thing I never really thought I would care to, which is play it in bed. Play it, you know, at my desk while I'm doing something else. Like, actually using the Switches in the handheld mode to play Stardew Valley, because it's got that kind of addictive aspect.
Oh, man, you'll whip it out.
The Switch is great for that.
Oh, man, you'll whip it out on your flight overseas.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And they'll have to land early and get kicked off the plane. I couldn't get that out because I was so excited. Oh, my God, whip that out by the stick.
God damn it, I'm about to say the funniest thing I've ever said.
I drop the microphone. It breaks. My popcorn goes everywhere.
Ben, you're also saying you finally got around to the Project Octopath Traveler demo.
Yes.
Is it? It's so weird that there's still, every time they put up anything about that, it's like brackets working title.
Oh, yeah.
You can't have a demo out. You can't have a demo out if you still haven't worked out what the title is.
However, they should change the title.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, fuck no. Project Octopath, that's great. It sounds like a Bond villain's plan.
No, if they call it Octopath, that's good. That's enough.
Yeah,
that's enough of a mouthful.
It's just, it'll be so weird if they do change it to, like, you know, Enchanted Ruby or whatever, some dumb fantasy name. Because this is that one with little 2D people in a 3D world.
Yeah.
Okay. And it does, those visuals look really good. Better than I thought. Like, I like them more than I thought I would.
Right.
Like, it's really effective.
Because this was...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because this was announced... This was back in the big Switch...
It was, yeah.
...announcement thing in January. The first proper look we got at the Switch.
Yeah.
And at the time, it seemed like... Why the fuck are you trotting this out?
Yeah.
Like, this was the big thing that was meant to be wowing us and convincing us all. Why are we treading water with this?
Yeah, and look, I still don't understand why they did that. It's not like a mind-blowing game.
Yeah.
What it is like an old-fashioned 2D RPG that's done extremely well and with this kind of interesting 3D aspect to the visuals. There's not much more to say about it. Like, it's kind of like a... Final Fantasy 3 style thing.
And it's square?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It is.
Right.
So, and like, yeah, the writing's pretty good. The sprites are very simplistic.
The idea is that you play as one of several different characters and they each have a different skill?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
So, like, in the demo, it's the warrior guy can challenge people to duels and that, like, you can, like, level up, I guess, by doing that.
Because the other characters can just, like, talk to them like people, right?
I think
so. Then he comes up and he's like, want to fight?
Basically.
That's funny.
But that's because he's, like, living in a town where he's, like, a hedge knight and they don't have many warriors and he kind of protects everyone.
Right.
And so what he's doing by that is, like, dueling the local militia to help him get... He's training them by doing it.
I see. Okay, right. He's not just picking bar fights.
No, and he can have normal conversations.
Right.
But then, yeah, the other character in the demo is, like, a seductress,
right?
Which is kind of reductive to have that be her character. And what she does is like lure people around.
Right.
Which is kind of problematic now that I think about it.
Yeah.
And it also wasn't the best mechanic in the game. It wasn't kind of interesting to do that. But yeah, it's really... I haven't played a heap of it and it's just the demo. But in terms of the surface level stuff, it's like, oh yeah, it looks good and it plays good, and I think it could be a good game.
Because from the description of this, it sounds like you can either play as someone who wants to fight or wants to fuck. And you walk around town, it's like it's a me simulator.
Yeah, it's King Street the video game.
I think what it will be eventually is like you'll play seven different characters, each of which have a skill that I guess maybe you'd have if you were one character.
Yeah.
Like you'd eventually level up those skills as one RPG character.
Right.
But this is split amongst the different ones.
I got the demo and I just realized I just haven't.
Give it a crack. Give it a crack.
Yeah.
I'm just going to wait, I think.
That's it. I mean, that's the thing that I always kind of find a bit of a bummer about. Like if it's a sports game or whatever, you can play a match and get a feel for it. But anything with a story, it's like then it comes out and you just got to go through that again. Like,
The Gran Turismo one, all your stuff came over.
Yeah.
Right. So. Yeah.
But yeah, that sounds cool.
It's I wouldn't have played it if I wasn't stuck at homesick.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, yeah.
Cool.
I'm glad I went in. It's better than I thought it was going to be, I guess.
Yeah, right.
Cool. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Well, I guess unless Nox, you got anything?
Nah, I haven't had time to play anything other this week.
The South Park game is out. I'm keen. I hear some good things so far. I'm keen to get around to that.
I'm happy to not go in on it.
Wow.
If one of you guys or both of you do.
I'm probably going to play that by the next time we record another episode. But then it's the big bloody couple of weeks there of all that stuff.
Oh, baby.
Yeah.
And Call of Duty as well. Shoot more Nazis there.
Oh, baby.
That is going to pale in comparison to Wolfenstein.
Yeah. Yes.
Here's my early review. It's bad, but I'm still going to play it.
Yeah.
Can we just say, what a fucking year.
Yeah.
Like, what a year for games.
Yeah.
So good.
You mentioned this, I think, Tommy, to me the other day. Really looking forward to our end of year Game of the Year episode.
Yes.
Because there's going to be a lot of great games to talk about.
I'm nervous about it because there's three or four more big things that I want to play before then.
That's true.
Like Divinity Original Sin 2.
Oh, yeah,
I've heard nothing but great things about. Sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And is 100 hours long. And I've already done that once this year.
Yeah.
With Persona 5.
I think there's going to have to be like multiple different honorable mentions categories.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I've already got. I could do a top five of games that technically don't qualify because they're re-releases and remasters that in any other year would just sneak into the top five without there having to be a caveat.
Yeah.
But they almost deserve their own category.
Yeah.
But
and we got time to think about that.
We got heaps of time to think about it. Guys, thanks very much for listening. Filthycasuals.com.au for tickets to our live show. Keep an eye on that for the Bandcamp episode that is going up on Sunday. Patreon, we thank you all very much, those of you that are supporting, and we hope you've been enjoying the bonus. We've sent out one and we're sending out another one very soon.
Yes.
Guys, thanks very much for listening. And as we say at the end here of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
roof, roof! It's another old ad. If you're not from Australia as well, that won't make sense. He was the roof seal and you sealed roofs, but he was also a seal.
You can YouTube him.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.